能够跟你们在一起。
How many were here last night?
昨天晚上在的，请举手好吗？
It's amazing that you came back.
真的是很奇妙，你们居然回来了。
But for those who were not here last night,
对那些昨天晚上没有来的人，
I should just simply say that I've been a pastor for 20 years.
我简单的介绍我做牧师做了20年。
During which time I planted two churches.
在那当中我植两个堂。
I then moved into carpentry and business.
然后我就去当木匠去做事业。
And for the last 25 years, I've been a professor at Regent College.
过去25年，我也在加拿大维珍神学院当教授。
In the applied theology field.
是在应用神学这个部分做教导。
I would not want to be a professor of unapplied theology.
我不希望做一个不能够应用的神学的教授。
And actually,Christian truth was meant to be applied.
事实上，基督教的真理就是要去应用的。
My field is marketplace theology.
我的领域是市场神学。
A monk once asked me, "What's that?"
有人曾经问我，那到底是什么东西啊？
I said, "It's the integration of Christian faith with work in the world."
我会告诉他们说，这个是基督教的信仰跟你在职场上怎样结合的学问。
It's not possible, he said.
这个不可能的事情。
That's why I'm a monk.
他是这个朋友是一个神父。那就是因为为什么我做神父？因为这个不可能的。
Some people even go into pastoral ministry because they think it's not possible to integrate faith and work in the world.
有的人见到这个有些人要当牧师，因为他们觉得。要在职场上工作实在是很不可能的事情。
So, this morning and this afternoon, we're exploring why we should abolish the laity and not the clergy.
所以今天早上、今天下午，我就要跟各位讲，为什么我们要废除这个平信徒而不是废除牧师。牧师是必要的，平信徒是不必要的。
I'm going to start this morning with how we got laity and clergy.
今天早上我要思想我们怎么样我们是怎么得到这个平信徒跟牧师这种名词的。
Then we'll take a break.
然后我们要休息一下。
And you can leave if you want to.
如果你想要的话你就可以离开了。
And then we are going to look at revolutionary biblical truths.
然后我们要来看这种革命性的圣经里面所启示的真理。
Then before lunch, we're going to have a respondent from a pastor.
然后在午餐之前我们会有当中的牧者的回应。
This afternoon, I'd like to focus on some practical strategies.
You mean this morning?
This afternoon.
今天下午我们就会讲到一些有关于怎么样来装备的一些策略。
First of all, equipping for the gathered life of the church.
第一个就是装备这种信徒的集体的生活这个部分。
Once again, we'll take a break.
然后我们也要休息一下。
And then equipping for the dispersed life of the church.
然后就讲到不止教会分散出去以后，怎么样去装备他们去分散以后的生活。
Again, we will have a respondent.
然后我们也会有回应。
And then we'll be finished.
然后今天的讲座就结束了。
In the church today, it seems like there's two peoples.
在今天的教会里面，我们好像可以看到两种人。
Clergy and laity.
就是平信徒跟圣职人员、传道人。
They talk differently.
他们讲话的方式不同。
They dress differently.
他们穿衣服也不同。
They think differently.
他们想事情的方式也不同。
But when you walk into the New Testament,
但是你如果进到新约的世界，
you find only one people.
你只会看到一种人。
It's actually called the Laos of God.
用希腊文来讲就是 Laos。上帝的老奥，上帝的子民。
And among the people are leaders.
然后在这个子民的当中有领袖。
And there's many, many different names in the New Testament for those leaders.
然后在这些领袖，在圣经里面有很多很多不同的名称来说到这些领袖。
Pastors.
牧师。
apostles,
使徒,
overseers,
监督,
elders,
长老,
a huge variety of names.
有一大堆不同的, 这领袖的名称,
but those leaders are part of the people.
但是这些领袖也是这些人民老奥百姓的一部分。
They're not a separate people.
他们不是分开来的，分别出来的。
To study the actual words is quite helpful.
如果你去读那个原来的文字的话，是在会很有帮助的。
There is, in fact, a word for layman or layperson.
事实上是有这个平信徒这个字眼。
In the Greek language, it's laikos.
在希腊文是laikos。
But it is never used by an apostle to describe a Christian.
但是使徒们从来没有用这个字来描述基督徒。
And this is a person who's second class and untrained.
这个是指一些次等的没有经过训练的人。
There is another word for layperson in the Greek language.
另外一个希腊文。
And it's idiotes.
叫做idiotes。
And it means again belonging to the common people.
这个是讲到是属于一般普罗大众的。
Or uninitiated.
或者是没有被激发激励的，或者是不自己不主动的。
Now it is used in the New Testament.
这个字在新约里面有用到。
Peter and John were preaching in Jerusalem.
彼得和约翰他们在耶路撒冷讲道。
And they were preaching with great power.
他们用带着大能讲道。
And the Sanhedrin said, "How is it possible that these people could preach this way when they are laymen?"
那些公会的人就觉得这些无学问的人怎么能够有那么大能讲道？
They have not been to Holy Light Seminary.
他们没有来读过圣光。
They haven't been through our schools.
他们也没有到过我毕业的学校。
And it's also used by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14.
哥林多前书14章保罗也用到这个字眼。
Where everyone was speaking in tongues.
当每一个人都在讲方言的时候,
and there was no interpretation,
也没有人翻译,
and he says, if a layman comes in,
他说, 正好有一个人就进来了,
that is a person who is not initiated,
就是这个人他没有, 不是被, 没有采取主动的,
I take it that the person would not be a Christian.
这个人就是不是主动寻求神的，不是一个基督徒。
How is that person going to fall on their face and worship God?
那个人怎么可能, 俯伏来敬拜神呢?
Now it's quite interesting to me that the English word idiot comes from the Greek.
我很有趣的一件事情就是英文的这个白痴idiot就是从这个希腊文idiotes来。
It's as though the Jewish leadership said, "How can these idiots preach so powerfully?"
所以那些公会的人说，这些白痴怎么能够讲道讲的那么有力呢？
Now the word that is used for the people of God is laos.
所以讲到这个神的子民，这个是laos.
This is not laity.
这个不是所谓的平信徒。
The word means the people of God.
这个字的意思是子民，神的子民。
It's a designation of great honor.
这是一个带有尊贵的一个名称。
Once you were not a people.
从前你们不是子民。
You couldn't call God Father.
你们不会称上帝是父。
You were orphans in the universe.
你们是宇宙间的孤儿。
But now you are the people of God.
但是现在你们成为神的子民。
Now, it's very interesting
很有趣的,
that the Greek word kleros,
希腊文的这个kleros,
this is the word from which we get the English word clergy.
这个字就是英文的神职人员clergy这个字的希腊文的字眼。
It's not used just for pastors.
但是这个字不只是用在牧师的身上。
It means appointed or endowed.
这个指的是一种决定的，或者是继承的产业，继承的，或者是预定的，决，从前决定的。
We might even use the word ordained. We might even describe it as being ordained.
我们可以说这个也可以把它当做是一种案例，案例的这个字也可以。
But it is not used for pastors.
但是它不是用在称呼牧师。
It's used for the whole people of God.
而是用来称呼所有神的子民。
So now we have an amazing situation.
所以我们现在有一个很奇特的一种状况。
The church has no laypersons in the usual sense of that word.
教会里面没有所谓的平信徒，如果按照一般的字义来了解的话，没有所谓的平信徒。
But is full of clergy in the real meaning of that word.
但是在一种很真实的意义上面，我们却是都是传道人，教会里面。都是传道人。
That's why I say we should abolish the laity.
所以我说应该把这个平信徒废掉。
And not the clergy.
不是废掉传道人。
Because we're all clergy.
因为我们都是传道人。
Now some historical background.
给各位一些历史的背景。
The early church had a radical communion of love and ministry.
早期的教会里面，他们有一种很激进的、很奋进的一种相爱跟共同的生活和侍奉。
It wasn't long before two ways emerged.
但是没有多久就发展出两条道路来。
The higher way was to be a priest, a monk, or a nun.
比较高的路。
And the lower way was for people who married and worked in the world.
高的路就是为那些所谓被分特别分别出来的，低的路就是为那些结过婚的啦，那些比较做一般工作的。
This became incarnated in the Middle Ages with two levels.
这个在中古世纪的时候，就好像是道成肉身一样，变成两个阶层。
Clergy and laity.
就是圣职人员跟平信徒。
The monk, the pastor.
神父、牧师。
Which is a holy way.
这是所谓的圣洁的。
And then the laity.
比较高的。
That lived in the world.
那平信徒就是活在世俗里面的。
This is a fundamental problem.
这是一个很根本的问题。
It is the dualism of sacred and secular.
把这个圣跟俗二元化了。
That I am going to show was destroyed by Jesus.
但是我要告诉你们，这个分别在耶稣基督里面已经被除去了。
But exists in the church. Everywhere in the world.
但是在教会里面，确实到处的教会都可以看到这种现象。
Now, in the Protestant Reformation,
in the past,
Protestant Reformation,
在东正教的改革运动当中
，Luther broke down that sacred secular.
路德他就传承了这个比较高的这种圣的这一条路线。
He said.That the ordinary person working in their home is just as holy as the pastor preaching.
对不起，路德是比较低的路线，他就讲到说，救恩就是关心到这些一般的普罗民众。
The problem was that Luther did not develop an ecclesiology around his doctrine.
但是问题是路德他没有根据这个他所看到的这个教义。发展出一套完整的教会学。
Because his concern was how we get saved.
他只关心到我们怎么样能够得到救恩。
Which is not by works.
就是不是靠我们的行为。
But the grace of Christ.
而是靠单单靠上帝的恩典。
Calvin came along.
加尔文也凑上一脚了。
And he promoted a secret call which only pastors have.
他鼓吹了一种秘密的私人性的神上帝来的个人的呼召。
Now Luther said, I advise people not to become pastors.
路德他怎么说呢？我劝告人们不要想要当圣职人员。
Unless they are absolutely convinced.
除非他们是很绝对的确信。
That their work is no better in the sight of God than the woman working in her home.
就是他们主要从事的这个所谓的圣职工作，跟一般妇女在家里面做的一种很日常的平常的工作是没有什么两样的。
I don't have to tell you this is revolutionary.
我不需要告诉你们，这是一种很革命性的一种想法。
But Calvin said pastors have a very special call.
但是加尔文他就是说，牧师是有一种很特别的呼召。
It's known only to God and to the pastor.
只有上帝跟那个牧师自己本知道。
And the church is not witness to it.
但是教会并没有为这个事情来做见证。
See, Luther said, when a Christian's among non-Christians,
I'm sorry.
When Luther said that when a Christian is among non-Christians,
路德说当一个基督徒处在非基督当中的时候，
he needs no other call than the fact that he's a Christian.
他不需要别的其他的呼召，就是只是我是一个基督徒，这个呼召就够了。
To preach to the erring heathen.
To preach to the heathen.
Or the 要
向外邦外向这些外邦人传道。
But he said, when a Christian's among Christians,
但是在基督徒处在基督徒当中的时候，
he should not thrust himself forward.
他不需要把自己往前推。
But wait to be called forth by the people.
而是等到这些基督徒有需要的时候来向他提出呼召，提出呼吁。
And this is in harmony with the New Testament.
这种想法就是跟新约跟圣经是很一致的。
That leaders are to be appointed not on the basis of a secret call.
就是领袖他不是根据一个很私人性的呼召来被设立起来的。
But on the basis of character.
而是因为他的品性。
First Timothy 3 and Titus 1.
提摩太前书第三章还有提多书第一章。
By and large, the evangelical church has gone with Calvin rather than Luther.
这两根经都有这种说法，但是教会里面通常就是跟随的是加尔文所提倡的这个路线。
Now, to a large extent, Wesley brought some correction.
在某一种程度上卫斯理他就带来一些更正的作用。
The radical reformation took place.
他说这个激进的这种改革发生了。
Which attempted to implement every member of ministry.
就是让每一个人都能够进到这个侍奉的里面。
And as Christianity came to Asia,
当基督教传到亚洲，
There are other influences.
有其他的受到其他的影响。
Confucianism.
比如说孔教。
Which says that the philosopher is at the very top.
他说孔教里面讲到哲学家是在最上头。
And the merchant is at the bottom.
商人是在最下面。
Now in mainland China today, the merchant's pretty high up.
在中国大陆今天的商人已经爬到最高上面去了。
But then there have been influences from shamanism as well.
还有这种萨满主义的这种影响。
So I find in Asia,
所以我在亚洲发现
the same dualism.
也有同样的这种二元论的这种状况。
Pastors are doing sacred work.
牧师做的是神圣的工作。
And the rest of the people are doing secular work.
其他的人就是做一些世俗的工作。
This is perhaps typified by the story of Mary and Martha in the Bible.
我们可以从玛利亚跟马大这个故事里面来看到很典型的这种二分法的情况。
I should say that a few of the slides are not in your notes.
我所讲的有一些并不在你们的
But in that story, Mary is considered to be the spiritual one.
在马大跟玛利亚的故事里面，我们都常常认为玛利亚是比较属于属灵的。
And Martha, the unspiritual.
马大是不属灵的，马大是不属灵的。
Because she was preparing a 10-course Chinese meal for Jesus.
因为她正在为耶稣准备预备了一道十道菜的满汉全席。
And Jesus said, "You know, we don't need all those things."
耶稣说。我们不需要那些事情的。
He said, in fact, really only one thing is necessary.
事实上我们只需要一件事情是必要的。
And that's communion with me.
就是跟我团契相交。
And Mary has chosen the better part.
玛利亚她选择了那最好的。
And so what we see in that story is the beginning of the separation as well of clergy and laity.
所以我们在这个故事里面我看到这个好像是这个二元论的圣徒圣品人跟平信徒的这个二元论的开端。
Almost everybody in the room here is a Mary.
每一个在这个房间里面的人都是玛利亚。
And all the Marthas are out there working.
马大都在外面工作了。
I find it interesting, though, that Jesus lived a mixed life.
我发现很有趣的，耶稣他是活着是一种。一种整体的
combining Mary and Martha
他所
There were some times he was so busy that he couldn't eat. But then in Matthew 14:22, it says that he dismissed the crowds in order to be alone with the Father. We'd like to imagine that everybody got healed. And they all went home. And then he said, "Ah, at last I can pray." It doesn't say that. It says he told people to go home. I'm sorry, I can't heal you today. I must be alone with the Father. I don't think he lived a balanced life. He lived a disciplined life. And so, in the 13th century, Walter Hilton said, "We should mingle the works of an active life with spiritual endeavors of the contemplative life." He was answering a letter from a businessman. And the businessman said, "I think I want to leave business and go into the monastery." I really want to serve God full time. It's like what happens today. People find business really hard. And they think that being a pastor is going to be just like being in heaven. So they say, "I want to serve God full time." Of course, there is no part-time option for followers of Jesus. And Walter Hilton replied in a letter. Basically, what he said was, "Don't leave business. Don't leave business. But be both Mary and Martha at the same time." He said, "Do your business, but then withdraw and be alone with God. And in both you will be serving God." And an Anglican or Episcopal bishop said, "Nobody can afford to be in the marketplace who is not also in the desert."
And
of course, it doesn't mean you have to be in a physical desert. But you need aloneness with God and separation from all the demands of society. Now, in Christian service, we do face three temptations: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Actually, those three words are not together in the Bible. The Bible actually speaks about the world, the flesh, and the devil, but not in the same sentence. That phrase comes from the Anglican Prayer Book. But they are the three temptations of leadership. The temptation from the world comes to us as professionalism. Professional pastors have skills that come from very special knowledge.
These 这个专业是从这些知识来的。
Why should we keep that to ourselves?
为什么我们要把这种知识就是保留在自己的身上？
Theological education is too good to be reserved for the clergy.
神学教育实在是太棒了，太好了，不应该只是给这些神职人员。
A pastor reflecting on how professionalism crept into his ministry.
有一个牧师，他就讲到这种专业主义怎么样腐化了他的侍奉，在侍奉的生活。
He said, I began to lose the love motivation and treated my responsibilities as a job.
他说我开始失去了爱的动力，并且把我的责任只当做把我的工作只当做是一项责任。
I pursued godliness for the sake of job effectiveness.
我只是为了提高我的工作效率才去追求金钱。
This means reading the Bible and praying only to prepare servants.
这意思是说，读圣经、祷告，只是为了预备奖章。
And this was complicated by the call of some classic writers.
有一些古典的作家，他们把这个方面的事情又弄得更复杂了。
To pursue godliness as a requirement for being useful in the hands of God.
就是这些古典的作家，他们要追求金钱，为的是什么？让我能够在上帝的手中有用，成为一个有用。
He said, I saw ministry as a career rather than a relationship.
他说我们常常把自己的事工当成一份职业而不是一种关系。
I viewed the church as an institution.
我把教会当成一个机构。
On which I would demonstrate my abilities rather than a family I would nourish.
只是为了表现我自己的能力而不是去牧养，把它当作是我应该去牧养的一个大家庭。
I began to rationalize my emotional detachment as a necessary thick skin.
我开始把这种感情上的这种疏离感情上的这种疏离感情上的这种冷漠合理化。
I began to feel alienated from the people because I lived by different rules than they.
我开始跟人疏离，因为我活在一种不同的游戏规则的里面。
And ultimately alienated from myself as my work consumed me.
我没有跟会众生活在一起，然后结果这样的结果就是让我越来越被损耗。
If I was not a pastor, I was nothing.
最后我甚至跟自己也疏离了，所以如果我不是牧师的话，我还能够做什么？我什么都不是了。
Clericalism is a big problem.
另外，教权主义也是一个很大的问题。
I've been arguing that everyone is clergy.
我刚才已经提过，每一个人都是神职人员。
But clericalism, as we know it in the church today,
但是教权主义，就我们今天在教里面所看到的
，is often the promotion of someone to be sacred.
就是常常就是要去提升一个人成为一个神圣的人。
This makes it very hard for a pastor to be a human being.
这种情况让一个牧师很难好好做一个人。
Or ever to admit that they have struggles.
他们不敢承认自己有这种人的挣扎。
Oftentimes it gives them a credential where they can move from church to church.
常常就是给他们一些所谓的这种认证和这种资格，让他们能够从这个教会搬到一个更大的教会。
Please understand, I really approve of commissioning.
请了解我是相信这种教会的这种召命、这种任命的。
But some of the thinking around ordination is this.
但是有一些有关于这种这种案例任命的这种情况是这样子。
As one author said,
有一个作家是这么说。
We do not just preach the gospel.
我们不只是传福音。
We become the preacher.
我们成为传道人。
We do not just possess authorization to perform the Eucharist.
我们不只是得到这个权柄来施行圣礼。
We are a priest.
我们是一个祭司。
And so what we are doing is undoing what Jesus did when he came.
所以我们所做的就是把耶稣基督不要我们做的，我们再去做这些事情。
Which is to break down the clergy laity.
耶稣来就是把这个圣品人跟平民的界限拿掉。
So that the whole people of God would be clergy.
所以 上帝的整体的百姓啊，都是神职人员。
And people also regard their role as a functional role.
有时候人也啊、也把自己啊、也受到这种功能主义的这个影响。
They see it as a contract rather than a covenant.
他们把这个侍奉当作是一种契约，而不是一种名约。
So many pastors today contract for certain wages.
啊、有一些牧师啊啊、就是。用这种契约的方式来跟教会啊谈报酬。
And we've had a couple of young people in our school.
我们有啊、在我们学校里面有几对年轻人。
Who tried to contract for a 37-hour work week as a pastor.
啊、他希望教会啊、跟教会谈条件、谈契约，就是一个礼拜啊、只工作37个小时
，37 hours，
37个小时。
How many hours do you work？
你们啊、一个礼拜工作多少小
时 ？100，
100个小时。
And then using techniques，
用一些技巧
，rather than loving，
而不是去爱。
Commercialization of church leadership.
消费主义在这个领导阶层里面的这种消费主义。
You know, the root idea of being an amateur is that you're doing something for love.
所谓的业余者哈，这个业余者这个观念是说你很喜欢做这个事情，所以你就去做这个事情了。
And that should be the heart of our leadership.
所以我们的领导应该是有这种业余者的心态，你爱做那个事情。
Why abolish the laity?
所以为什么我们要把这个平信徒废掉？
First of all,
首先，
it's been abolished by the death and resurrection of Jesus.
就是耶稣基督的死跟复活已经把这个观念废除掉了。
Jesus did not come as a priest.
耶稣基督来，他并没有用祭司的身份来。
He came as a carpenter.
他来是做一个木匠。
And after about 20 years of working,
然后工作了二十年以后,
when he was baptized,
他受洗,
the Father said, I am really pleased with you.
天父对他说, 你, 我真的是很喜欢你, 你是我的爱子。
He had never preached a sermon.
他在这之前, 他从来没有讲过道。
And he had never worked a miracle.
从来没有行过神迹。
And of course, he did those things later.
当然之后他就做这些事情。
But he came in the flesh.
可是他道成肉身，他以肉身来到。
Showed us that all of life can be holy.
告诉我们说，我们所有的肉身，我们所有的生命啊，都是可以是圣洁的。
But further,
进一步
the laity have been abolished by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
除了耶稣基督死跟复活把他废除以外，圣灵来。也是把这个平信徒废除了。
And the Spirit was not just poured out on the leaders.
因为圣灵不只是浇灌在这些领袖的身上，也浇灌在所有百姓的身上。
But on the whole people of God.
所有的百姓都领受圣灵的浇灌。
So in Acts chapter 2.
所以在使徒行传第二章。
The Holy Spirit permits the old and the young to prophesy.
圣灵让老少都受预言。
And men and women.
男人女人都受充满。
The laity have been abolished by the new covenant.
平信徒也被废除了、就是被新约废除了。
Most of the concepts of professional ministry today,
很多专业的所谓这种专业的侍奉的的这种今天所谓的专业的侍奉
based on the old covenant,
都是根据旧约来进行。
Under the old covenant,
在旧约里面
there were priests and people,
有祭司有百姓。
But under the new covenant,
但在新约的里面
we're all priests.
我们都是祭司。
And as Paul says in 2 Corinthians,
好像保罗在哥林多后书所说的
all of God's people are in ministry.
我们都是神的百姓，都是为服侍神的。
So that laity was abolished by the life-giving perspectives of the New Testament.
所以我们这个平信徒也被这种新约里面赐生命的这个律已经把它废除了。
And in the next section, we're going to explore the priesthood of all believers.
接下来我们要讲到这个信徒皆祭司的这个观念。
The universal ministry of the people of God.
神的百姓的普世性的侍奉。
The universal call of God.
然后神普世性的呼召。
And the kingdom of God.
还有神的国。
I'd like to suggest that if you want to stand up and stretch, we're going to take a 2 or 3 minute break.
我建议大家，如果你愿意站起来哈，伸展伸展筋骨，我们可以休息两三分钟。
I'm not worried about you sleeping now. I'm not worried about you sleeping now.
我不担心你们现在睡着了。
But after lunch, it's going to be a big challenge.
但是等一下吃完午餐以后，这是一个很大的挑战。So you have a break?
Yeah, 2 minutes. Okay, in about 2 minutes, please gather again. I think we...
就坐，我们休息时间差不多了，请各位回坐，谢谢。讲座马上就要开始，请弟兄姐妹回坐，谢谢大家。
I didn't realize that in China, a two-minute break is a 20-minute break.
华人的两分钟时间很可能是二十分钟的休息时间。
So,
所以请外面的弟兄姐妹。可不可以请同工请外面的姐妹尽快就坐。
One of the things you can be thinking about,
各位现在可以思想的一个问题
is the question that you would like to ask.
你会想要问讲员什么问题？
And I hope that there will be some time for you to ask some questions.
希望我们等一下呢，会有一些时间是有 Q&A， 是各位提出问题，我来回答的。
So it would be helpful if you could write down your questions.
所以如果是各位先把问题写在纸上，然后传给讲员，这样子的话，吴老师可以先看一下，然后来帮Stevens 翻译。
Preferably fairly briefly.
请不要写得太长。
Sometimes I've had people ask questions and it took them 10 minutes.
有的时候有人光发问就问了十分钟。
Okay.
好，我们把时间交给吴老师。
Come, Tim. So we are looking in the second section on revolutionary truths in the New Testament.
我们刚刚谈到在圣经里面这种革命性的真理。
And we've just explored these, so I won't repeat them. First of all, the priesthood of all believers.
首先我们来看信徒皆祭司。
This, of course, was a major theme of the Protestant Reformation.
当然这是一个很重要的一个主题。
I don't know whether you'd like to read this, and I'll hold this for you. I think I'd like to have these passages read in Chinese.
彼得前书第二章四到九节。
First Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 to 9.
彼得前书第二章四到九节。
Page 641.
第二章四到九节，我们一起读好不好？第二章四到九节，一起来，来。主乃活石，虽然是被人所弃的，却是被神所拣选、所宝贵的。你们来到神的面前，也就像活石，被建造成为灵宫，做圣洁的祭司，借耶稣基督奉献神所悦纳的灵祭。因为经上记着说：“看哪，我把所拣选、所宝贵的房角石安放在锡安。”所以。他们既不顺从，就在道理上半跌。他们这样半跌也是预定的。第九节，唯有你们是被拣选的族类，是有金尊的祭司，是圣洁的国度，是属神的子民，要叫你们宣扬那召你们出黑暗入奇妙光明者的美德。
So who has Peter written to?
所以彼得到底是写给谁的？
To the whole people.
就是写给所有百姓的。
In Exodus 19 verse 6,
使徒行传十九章第六节。
That's the verse that Peter
was quoting. 出埃及第九，出埃及十九章第六节，这个就是彼得他所引用的旧约经文。
We also though find the priesthood in Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 and 6.
我们也从我们从启示录第一章第五节、第六节看到这个全民皆祭司的这种观念。第一章。第五节到第六节，我们一起来读启示录第一章第五节到第六节，一起来。又使我们成为国民，做他父神的祭司。但愿荣耀全能归给他，直到永永远远。然后第十节 verse 10，第十节，我们一起念第十节来。当那主日，我被圣灵感动，听见在我后面有大声音的吹号，说。对不起，我刚刚说错了。第五章第十节，第五章第十节，我来读就好了哈。第五章第十节哈，又叫他们成为国民，做祭司，归于神，在地上执掌王权。然后二十章的第六节，最后翻到二十章第六节，二十章第六节，好，一起来，在头一次复活有份。有福了，圣洁了。第二次的死在他们身上没有权柄，他们必做神和基督的祭司，并要与基督一同作王一千年。
Did you notice?
你有没有注意到
？That it is priests and kings.
就是这里讲的是祭司跟王。
Not just the priestly ministry of all the people.
不只是谈到。祭司所有 所有人民都是祭司的这个身份。
But the princely rule of all people.
而是王权所统治的这个祭司的这个这个职位。
So later we're going to talk about the kingdom.
所以我们接下来往后会谈到王国国度这个事情。
And I've already mentioned the prophethood of all believers from Acts chapter 2.
所以在是。
The prophethood of all believers from Acts chapter 2.
使徒行传第二章里面信徒皆祭司。
But to start with, a priest is like a bridge.
所以所谓的祭司就好像一座桥梁一样。
Bridges normally have two-way traffic.
通常桥梁都有双向的交通。
And a priest touches God on behalf of people and places.
祭司为了百姓的缘故去就近神
and touches people and places on behalf of God
也为了神的缘故去就近百姓
both directions
是双向的
Adam and Eve were priests of creation
亚当跟夏娃他们就是创造当中的祭司
they were to live their life blessing God
他们一方面把他们生命提升起来称颂神
but at the same timeExpressing God's will and purpose for creation.
同时也把上帝的旨意、上帝的祝福带到全地。
But then, in the passage we read, God selected Israel as a community of priests.
然后，我们刚刚读到出埃及记，神就拣选以色列百姓作为一个祭司的群体。
They were to bless God.
他们要称颂神。
But they were also to express God's will and purpose and presence to all the nations.
但是也把上帝的旨意、把上帝的同在带给全地的百姓。
Now within Israel, there was one tribe that was a priestly tribe.
在以色列的支派里面有一个支派是祭司的支派。
The tribe of Levi.
就是利未支派。
A Jewish theologian said this.
有一个犹太人的神学家这么说。
I think it's because the whole people didn't function as priests.
他说大概是因为所有人他们都没有发挥祭司的功能。
That God had to select one tribe to minister to the people.
所以上帝就必须要拣选一个支派来服侍所有的人。
So that the people could be priests to the world.
以至于这些所有的人也能够成为祭司来向全世界服侍全世界。
But when we come to Jesus,
当我们来到耶稣基督面前的时候
whom the New Testament calls the high priest
圣经里面称呼他是我们的大祭司
all that is gathered into his person
一切都集中在他的身上
who is the bridge between God and humankind
这个万有的耶稣就是成为人跟神之间的一个桥梁
he bore in his body our sins
他在他的身体上面担当我们的罪
And reconciled us to God.
让我们跟神和好。
But also expresses God's will and purpose for us.
也把上帝的旨意表达给我们。
Now in Christ, the whole people of God are priests.
所以在基督里面，我们所有的人都是祭司。
But only in Christ.
只有在基督里面。
This priesthood is directed towards God in worshipful access.
这个祭司的职分就是一方面是向着神的那来敬拜敬拜神
It's directed to the world in mission and in work
也是透过宣教来向着世界面对世界
And within the church there is a mutual priesthood
然后在教会里面我们是互相做祭司
What do priests do?
祭司做哪些事情呢
They bring God's presence and grace into the world.
他们是将神的同在跟恩典带到世界。
They lift up people and the world in intercession.
他们透过代祷把人跟世界带到上帝的面前来。
They create healthy work environments and homes by modeling kingdom values and caring for people.
他们借着天国的价值观来照顾人心，创造一个健康的工作的环境。
They show unconditional love and are a means of reconciliation.
他们也表现出无条件的爱，而且成为一个和好的一个工具，一个管道。
They help people develop to their full potential.
他们帮助人发挥完全的全能。
Including overcoming obstacles which block their progress.
包括他们能够继续往前进步的那些障碍都除去。
They bring the touch of God into places.
他们将神的触摸带到各地。
Now you're already beginning to see.
你开始看到了
that people are priests not just in the church.
我们作为祭司，人作为祭司，不只是在教会的里面
but in the world and in workplaces.
也是在世界，在你的工作场所。
I was followed in my first church by a man who repairs electronic instruments. I followed as a pastor by a man whose job was to repair electronic instruments.
我第一个跟随的是一个等于在教会里面我的牧师是做工匠的。
I was just back in that church.
我回到那个教会去。
They were celebrating their 100th anniversary.
他们在庆祝一百周年。
And the same man is the pastor.
同样的一个人还是那个教会的牧师。
He's a tent-making pastor.
他是织帐篷的牧师。
He supports himself with his business.
他也一方面的做他的事业
but he functions as a pastor in the church.
但是他同时也是教会的牧师。
But he says,
他说
I actually do more ministry in my workplace than I do in the church building.
事实上我在我的职场上
people,
做更多的侍奉比在我教会里面做更多的侍奉。
People come into his shop.
人来到他的店里面。
And he says, they notice something different.
他们就感到这个地方不一样。
And he says,It leads to conversations about the Lord.
所以就自然的就引导到讨论主信仰的事情。
He has the touch of God.
他有上帝的触摸。
He's a priest.
他是一个祭司。
He was ordained.
他也是按牧的。
And I was asked to speak at his ordination service.
我在他按牧的时候
被
邀请做讲员。
I had mentored him for several years.
所以我曾经做他的导师几年的时间。
And in the middle of the ordination service,
在按牧的过程当中
his two teenage daughters came up to the front.
他的两个十几岁的青少年的女儿跑到前面来。
And they grabbed the microphone.
他们就抓着麦克风。
And they said, we want to tell you what it's like at home.
我们要告诉你们我们的家庭生活是怎么样的。
Everyone was worried what they might say.
大家都好紧张不晓得会要说什么。
And they said,
他们说
Dad is not perfect.
爸爸不是完全的。
But we're here to tell you
但是我要告诉你们
that he's the same person in home
他在家里面跟在这里
as he is in the pulpit.
都是同样一个人在家里跟站在讲台上的他都是一样的
So the priesthood of all believers means first of all that every believer has direct access to God
所以信徒接续师的观念是讲到我们每一个人都有直接进到神面前的进步
And every believer is a priest to other believers
每一个信徒也可以成为其他信徒的祭司
And this priesthood is for carrying out God's mission on earth
这个祭司就是要把神的使命带到全世界
and not just in the church
而不是在教会里面
so to explore a little bit how each believer has direct access to God
我们再进一步来探讨每个信徒都有直接的到神面前的通路是怎么一回事
many people see the church this way
很多人对教会的看法是这个样子的
Jesus is up in heaven
基督在天上掌权
but there's a barrier between heaven and earth
但是在天跟地之间有一层障碍
and so questions go up the hierarchy from the people to the pastors
所以问题是从老百姓提到这些领导阶层
They go to a seminar at Holy Light Seminary.
然后就在圣光里面举办一个特会，一个研讨会。
And they get the answer.
然后在这个研讨会里面就产生答案。
And deliver the decision down the hierarchy.
然后就把这个在这里做了决定回到领导阶层。
But this creates a dependency between the pastor and the people.
但是这个就造成这个。一种百姓跟领导阶层的一种依赖性。
The pastor or the elders become an intermediary between God and the people.
长老跟牧师变成上帝跟人之间的一个媒介。
Here's a cartoon.
我们看一下这张卡通。
From now on, we're going to operate as a theocracy.
从现在开始，我们要用神主来运作。
And I'm Theo.
我就是神。
Actually, Jesus, the head of the church,
事实上，耶稣基督是教会的元首。
is in direct relationship with every member.
是跟我们每一个啊教会的会友都有直接的关系。
You don't have to go through the pastor to get to Jesus.
所以你不需要透过牧师就可以直接到耶稣基督的面前。
Each person has direct access to God.
每一个人都有直接到神那里去的通路。
And our job as pastors,
我们作为一个牧师
is to nurture that direct contact.
就是去喂养啊，去营造啊那种啊直接到神面前去的
help,
这种管道。
To help people find strength in God, not in us.
让百姓们啊可以直接从神那里来得到力量，而不是从我们这里得到力量。
But at the same time, each believer is a priest to other believers.
但是同时，我们每一个信徒也是啊其他别人的祭司。
That means that each person can speak the word of God to others.
那表示说，我们每一个人都可以用上帝的话来劝勉另外一个人。
Each person can hear the confession and need of another person.
每一个人都可以听别人的认罪，或者是别人需要的需要。
And each person can nurture another person's faith.
每一个人都可以去喂养其他信徒的这种信仰。
And this priesthood is for carrying out God's mission in the workplace and world.
这个祭司的职分就是要把上帝的使命传达到世界上去。
Here are some of the ways we can do this.
我们怎么样去做呢？这里有几个做法。
From hostility to hospitality.
我们可以从敌对到友好。
From space to place.
我们可以从空间到一个地点。
And from information to mystery.
我们可以从资讯进到奥秘。
By creating hospitality,
所谓的营造这种友善的气氛。
We are creating a place where others can be free.
我们营造这种气氛的时候，就是让别人能够受肯定。
We see this in Abraham and Sarah's welcome of the three visitors.
我们从亚伯拉罕跟撒勒他们接待三个客人这个事上可以看得到。
And the two travelers on the road to Emmaus.
有两个旅行的人。
Who said to Jesus, "Abide with us."
I'm sorry to
stay with us.
他就跟他们说你可以跟我们在一起。
We also function as priests.When we create a place out of raw space,
我们也可以营造一些空间做我们祭司的职分。
I can't remember anything my fourth grade teacher taught me.
我四年级的那个老师教我什么东西，我大概都忘记了。
But I remember the classroom.
但是我记得那个课堂的规则。
Because she created a beautiful place.
因为那个老师。营造了一个非常美丽的空间。
Little guys and gals could learn.
让大大小小的同学都可以一起在这种友善的气氛里面学习。
And I remember it to this day.
我到今天还记得。
She created a place out of space.
她在这个空间里面营造了一个特定的一个地点。
And that's what mums and dads can do in a home.
爸爸跟妈妈在家里面也可以营造这种地方。
In the workplace, can do this with a factory or an office.
在工厂里面，在公司里面上班的地方，你也可以营造一个地方。
Now, in the Bible, in Genesis,
在创世纪里面
we see that God put the man and the woman in the garden.
我们看到神把男女人放在伊甸园里面。
They were to have worship to God.
他们要敬拜上帝。
And dominion on earth.
也要管理受造物。
The garden was a sanctuary.
所以那个乐园就是一个好像是一个会幕一样。
A place of beauty and prosperity and communion with God.
就是美丽、丰盛、安全、可以跟神相交的地方。
But the garden was in Eden.
可是这个乐园是在伊甸这块地上面。
Is the home of the man and the woman.
那这个伊甸这个地方也就是男女的家庭的所在。
But Genesis also describes other lands.
可是创世纪里面也讲到其他的土地。
Like Havilah, where the gold is good.
像哈菲拉那里的金子是非常好的。
And without saying these exact words,
没有，虽然没有讲得很清楚。
The words that are used are fill the earth.
他 他讲到说我们要去充满世界啊，充满全地。
Our calling is to extend the sanctuary into the world.
所以我们的呼召就是把这个会幕啊延伸到全世界。
This is a priestly ministry.
这个就是祭司的侍奉。
And then to move from information to mystery.
啊，然后我们要也要从啊这个啊啊资讯到奥秘。
Today, we are in an information society.
我们今天活在一个资讯的时代。
And we process words.
我们去做这种文字的输送。
Words are digitalized.
然后我们把它数字数位化。
I was preparing my first sermon on a computer.
我在电脑上面准备我的第一篇讲章。
And I proudly said,This is my first sermon prepared on a computer.
我很骄傲地说，这一篇讲章是我在电脑上预备的第一篇讲章。
It was sheer inspiration.
实在是充满了灵感。
I was writing for 2 hours.
我在那里不停地就打了
两个小时。I had no rough notes.
我也没有草稿。
And I didn't save anything.
我也没有说什么。
And then I pushed the wrong button.
然后我就按错了键
and everything went blank.
就两个小时的功夫都白费了。
All my words were gone.
所以我在上面写的字都不见了。
There wasn't a wave in the deep chips of the memory.
我脑筋里面根本想不起什么东西来。
Everything was gone.
什么东西都不见了。
Like my sins in the blood of Christ.
就好像耶稣基督洗净我的时候的罪。
And then I said,
然后我对自己说
You can't do that with my words.
你不能够这样对待我的话。
You're an Old Testament professor.
这是一个新旧约的老师。
And you know that Hebraically, the word is the person coming out of the mouth.
你们知道这个希伯来这个巴巴这个字哈，这个字是一个活生生的一个事件一个人。
It's awesome.
是很让我们很惊讶的。
And part of our priesthood is to treasure words.
我们的祭司的职分就是要去宝贵这个话语。
Because persons are revealed.
因为personal.
Persons are revealed through words.
因为一个人就是透过话语的启示才显出来的。
So part of our priesthood.
所以我们作为一个祭司
is to lift up the world and life.
就是要把神的话把神的生命高举起来
Ooze and Oz is there anything like that in Chinese?
I'm sorry
Ooze and Oz is there anything like that?
Oh, wow.
Oh good, great I have an artist friend who teaches art in school
我有一个艺术家的朋友他在学校教艺术
He was saying to a student
他对他的学生说
Look at that yellow
看看看哇
And the student said, "It's just yellow, sir."
你看这个黄色，他说，
but he
是黄色。
Look at it.
你看，你看
，it's beautiful.
好漂亮。
So, and this is part of our priesthood.
但是那个人还是感觉不出来。但是我们就要把这个奥秘带给。
Then we have a universal ministry of the people of God.
然后我们也有一种属神的百姓的普世的侍奉。
What is ministry?
什么叫做侍奉执事？
We learn mainly from Isaiah.
我们最主要要从以赛亚书来学习。
That ministry is service.
所以服事就是做仆人。
It's the same word in Greek and Hebrew.
在希腊文、希伯来文这个都是同一个字。
It is not just serving people.
不只是服事人。
It is serving the Lord.
乃是服事主。
So in 4 songs of the servant in Isaiah,
所以在以赛亚的四首仆人诗歌里面
we see what the servant is.
我们可以看到一个仆人是什么样子的。
In some homes in Taiwan, there is a servant.
在有一些台湾人的家庭里面有雇
In Canada, only the very wealthy can afford a servant.
在加拿大只有那些非常有钱的人才雇得起佣人。
But that's not true in Asia.
但是在亚洲不是这样子。
And a servant is a person at the disposal of others.
所以一个仆人就是他把他自己 完全交给另外一个人。
To do what that other person wants done.
那个人要他做什么，他就做什么。
And a minister is at the disposal of God.
我们作为一个神的仆人，我们就是完全把自己交托给神。
To do what God wants.
做神，神要我们做什么，我们就做什么。
It is not just being a servant of the people.
我们不只是做人的仆人。
People use the term servant leadership today.
就像我们今天常常谈到这种仆人领导这个字眼。
Ministry is more.
但是服事是比这个仆人领导还要更进一
步。It is serving people because we are first of all servants of the Lord.
我们最主要是因为我们要服事神，所以我们来服事人。
So in the four songs of the servant in Isaiah.
所以在以下的四首仆人诗歌里面。
In chapter 42, we have the call of the servant.
我们看到四十二章里面讲到仆人的呼召，仆人的蒙召。
In chapter 49, we have the vindication of the servant.
四十九章里面讲到他的辩白。
He says, "I think I have toiled and labored in vain."
他讲到我的一切劳苦都是枉费了。
But my vindication is with the Lord.
但是我的最终的报应在神那里，最终的辩护在神那里。
In chapter 50, we have the Gethsemane of the servant.
五十章里面我们看到仆人的克西马尼。
He's experiencing hostility.
他经验到这种敌对。
And difficulty.
困难。
But in chapter 52 and 3, we have the cross of the servant.
然后到52章、53章就有仆人的十字架。
Now God meant His whole people to be His servant.
上帝是要所有的人，就是他的百姓都成为仆人。
But they didn't do it.
可是他们不肯。
So sometimes in these songs, the servant is going to bring the people back to God.
所以有时候这些以赛亚书里面这些仆人要把这些百姓再带回到神的面前。
This must be a remnant, a spiritual Israel.
这个以色列要成为一个属灵的以色列。
A kind of church within the church.
好像I'm sorry.
A church within the church.
好像是刚刚这种神的仆人必须要把人带到神的面前，就好像祭司当中的祭司很多祭司里面当中有一些祭司把人带到神的面前。
But when we come to chapter 52 and 53,
但是我们到了以下五十二章五十三章的时候
，it is one individual person.
只有一个人。
By whose stripes we are healed.
因为他所受的鞭伤，我们得到医治。
And that is Jesus.
那就是耶稣基督。
And now in Jesus,
在耶稣基督里面
the whole people of God are entering service.
所有神的百姓都进到这个服事的里面。
Wouldn't it change things a bit?
你们觉得这是不是改变
If in coming to holy light,
你们来到圣光的时候
，You said, "I think I'm going into service."
我想我要进入这个侍奉了。
The word ministry seems to communicate a kind of awesomeness.
这个服事这个事，好像让我们感到有一种很
But it's
很敬畏、很奇特的一种感觉。
Serving God.
但是我们所服事的是神。
Now, that's one of the titles for Jesus.
这个。耶稣基督的头衔当中就是
the servant，
就是仆人。
And he models as a servant both leading and following。
他成为我们的榜样不管是领导或者是跟随，我们都可以从他身上学到。
He led the disciples。
他领导这些门徒。
And he also followed the Father。
他一方面也跟随天父。
Every leader should be a leader and a follower。
每一个领袖都必须要一方面领导，一方面跟随。
And Christ serves both the Father and the disciples and the world.
耶稣基督他服侍天父，也服侍门徒，也服侍世界。
This is a painting of Jesus washing the disciples' feet.
这是耶稣洗门徒脚的一幅图画。
And he comes to Peter.
然后他到了彼得面前。
And Peter says, "You'll never wash my feet."
彼得说，你千万不要洗我的脚。
I want to keep you up on a pedestal. I want to keep you up on a pedestal.
你最好离我远一点，留在那个上面。
I don't want you to touch anything dirty in my life.
我不希望你让我沾染污秽。
That's where a lot of people want to keep Jesus. They want to serve him, but they don't want him to serve them. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you and I have nothing in common. Peter said, give me a bath. Servant leadership patterned after the triune God has unity and diversity among leaders. Plural leadership. Churches are more healthy when there isn't just a single pastoral leader.
教会如果不只是一个牧师来做单一的领导的话，这个教会会更健康。
But plural leadership of elders or deacons.
复数的这种领导的牧师长老，这个领导是比较健康的。
And that leadership modeled after God.
这种领导的模式就是用神来做榜样的。
It's not dictatorial.
不是独裁。
But neither is it the leaderless, egalitarian group.
但是也不是一种无政府状态的这种领导。
It's between that.
而是在这当中。
And there's mutual respect and dependence.
在这当中有互相的尊重，有互相的信赖。
Now you probably have never seen Canadian geese.
你们可能没有看过加拿大的野雁。
It's a beautiful sight to see them fly.
看他们飞翔是多么美的一件事情。
But they did bring down an airplane in New York City.
但是有时候会让那个飞机。
But they fly in a V formation.
他们飞行是这种形状飞行的。
But the lead goose is breaking the wind for all the others.
这个前面这只雁，它就是乘风破浪的。
He gets tired. And has been replaced by another goose.
所以必须要另外一只雁，当它累的时候来取代。
And that's an illustration, I think, of how leadership should be rotated.
我想这就是我们在教会的领袖应该是怎么样来做的一个很好的典范。
From the first servant song,
在以赛亚第一首歌里面，
in chapter 42, verses 1 to 9,
以赛亚书42章，
I'd like to have us read that. Chapter 42, verses 1 to 9.
第一节我们一起读好不好？ Thank you. 42章第一节，一起来。看哪，我的仆人，我所扶持、所拣选、心里所喜悦的，我已将我的灵赐给他，他必将公理传给外邦。
First of all, did you read all 9 verses?
From 1 to 9. 将地和地所出的一并铺开，士气息给地上的众人。若是灵性给行在其上之人的神耶和华，他如此说：我耶和华凭公义招你，必搀扶你的手，保守你，使你做众民的中保，做外邦人的光，开瞎子的眼，出牢狱，领受黑暗的出监牢。 我是耶和华，这是我的名，我必不将我的荣耀归给假神，也不将我的征战给雕刻的偶像。看哪，先前的事已经成就，现在我将心事说明，就是为发以先，我就说给你们听。So
at the beginning, the servant is deeply approved and affirmed by the Lord.
所以一开始我们就看到这个仆人。
This is the deepest answer for insecurity.
这种肯定，这种认同，就是针对我们人性的不安全感，一个最好的一个答案。
Not pushing for public acclaim.
他也不在公众里面宣扬。
having profound respect for the weak and the broken.
然后他们也深深地去尊重那些软弱的跟心灵破碎的人。
Passionate about bringing justice.
热心地要将公义传开。
And brings about liberation.
然后也要带来这种释放。
And the whole people of God is entering into this.
然后整个神的百姓都必须要进到这样一种仆人的这种身份里面。
Three ministry roles.
我们还可以接下去看到三种职事的角色。
Prophets,
先知
priests, and
祭司跟君王。
Prophets speak the word of God with directness.
先知是直接的传讲神的话语。
And they explain the meaning of things.
也解释那个事情的意义。
They bring God's perspective.
是从神的观点来解释。
They point out where things are going.
他们指出事情可能发展的方向。
They have the big view.
他们有所谓宏观。
They envision new possibilities.
他们看到新的可能性。
And they call into question existing practices.
他们也对现存的这种处境来提出质疑，提出疑问。
They identify justice issues.
他们知道怎么样去辨别公义的课题。
And they declare what God is doing.
他们也宣告神现在正在做的事情。
Not what Jesus would do, but what God is doing.
不是 WWJD 耶稣要做什么，而是耶稣现在正在做什么。
And the Bible says that all of God's people are potentially prophets.
所以圣经里面告诉我们，所有神的百姓都是有一种潜在的做先知的这种职分的这种能力。
So they can speak God's word in the workplace or in the church.
他们可以在工作场所，在教会里面都去讲神的话。
They can demonstrate in word and deed.
他们可以从他们言行里面来见证他们所传讲的。
What it means to be a child of God.
什么样叫做什么叫属神的子民的普世护照。
A further biblical theme is the fact that God calls everybody.
神是呼召我们每一个人，这是另外一个主要的主题。
Calling means that our lives are lived as a summons to Christ.
呼召是表示我们的生命活出来，就是因为上帝要我们去活出这样的生活。
And this means our lives are lived in response to that call.
就是我们的整个生命的存在都是为了回应那个声音，那个呼召而存在的。
And God holds us responsible for what we do with our lives.
上帝会为我们生命里面所发生的一些事情，所做的一些事情来负责。
For there to be a callee, there must be a caller.
有被呼召的人就有那个呼召的人。
And before we are called to do something, we are called to someone.
当我们呼召要去做某一些事情的时候，我们是先被呼召去面对那个呼召我们的人。
So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1,
就在哥林多前书第一章里面，
Paul says, God has called us into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ.
他讲到说，我们呼召来跟神跟他的跟神的儿子有相交，有团契。
But the call of God is comprehensive.
但是上帝的呼召是很整全的。
It's not just to a specific ministry.
而不是只是一些特定的一个服事范围。
It's to the whole of life.
是整个整体的生命都在呼召的范畴里面。
To family.
在家庭里面
to civic responsibilities,
或者是国民的责任
to neighbor relations,
每天的跟人的关系
and of course to congregational life,
会众的这个整个会众的生活
Under the Old Testament, just a few people had an individual call.
在旧约里面我们是看到只有少数的一些个人是好像是被神呼召的
people like Isaiah and Amos.
好像以赛亚，好像阿摩斯这一类的人。
Now the people were called as a whole.
但是现在真的整个百姓都被呼召了。
But just a few people had a personal call.
教会里面是呼召，我们大家都成为神的百姓，神的子民。但是只有少数几个个人有种特别的呼召。
That's how most of the church operates today.
今天教会也是用这个模式在运作。
Pastors are people that have had a call.
牧师就是有上帝呼召的人
and the rest of the people just work.
其他的人就是做其他的工作
But under the New Testament,
但是在新约的里面
all are called.
所有的人都是被呼召的。
So Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1
以弗所书四章一节
says, walk worthy of the calling you have received.
我们蒙受这个呼召是一起蒙受这个呼召要活出跟蒙召相称的生活。
Who's he speaking to?
他是对谁说的？
Not the pastors.
不是对牧师。
The whole people of God.
而是所有神的百姓。
So all are called as a people.
所以所有的百姓都是蒙召的。
And everyone is called to ministry and mission.
每一个人都要去从事服事从事宣教的工作。
And that calling is first of all to belong to God.
这个呼召最主要是先是属于神的。
Secondly, to a way of life, to being.
然后就造成我们成为神的子民。
So we're called to love and holiness.
所以我们要去喜爱上帝的圣洁。
And then we're called to do God's work.
然后再接下来就是去做神要我们所做的工。
I want to conclude this biblical study.
我希望这个部分我总结这些圣经里面我们刚所谈的这些圣经的经文。
The great teaching about the kingdom of God.
就是讲到神的国度这个伟大的教导。
Jesus used the term kingdom 144 times in the Gospels.
耶稣用神的国总共用了144次，在福音书里面他用了144次。
He spoke of the church 3 times.
但是他讲到教会的时候是讲三次。
His first message was about the kingdom of God.
他第一个信息就是有关于神的国度。
Repent for the kingdom of God is at hand.
天国近了，你们要悔改。
And his last message on earth was about the kingdom.
最后的信息也是有关于神的国度的。
Jesus did not preach the gospel of personal salvation.
耶稣基督他没有传讲所谓个人得救的这种福音。
He preached the gospel of the kingdom of God.
他是传讲的是天国的福音。
The kingdom is the rule of the king or sovereign.
这个国度就是全能的神在掌管的国度。
Plus the response of the people.
还要再加上百姓对这个国度的一种回应。
The kingdom is spiritual.
这个国度是属灵的国度。
Jesus said, your sins are forgiven.
也是说你们的罪蒙赦免了。
It's personal.
也是个人的。
He said, come to me if you're fed up and tired.And I will give you rest for your souls.
他说，如果你们真的很受不了了，你就到我这里来，我就使你们得安息。
It's social.
也是社会性的。
He told the disciples of John that the blind see.
他让那个约翰的门徒。
The lame walk.
他告诉约翰说，
lepers are.
瞎眼的都看见，瘸腿的行走。
The deaf hear.
耳聋的听见。
The dead are raised to life.
死人要复活。
And the poor are hearing the good news.
穷人有福音传给他们。
It is also political.
同时也是政治性的。
He dealt with the powers of his day.
他去面对当时那种世上的势力。宗教的势力。
And he turned over the tables of the money changers in the temple.
他还在圣殿里面把那个兑换银钱的桌子搬过来。
And it is economic.
同时也是经济性的。
Because when he went to the home of Zacchaeus the tax collector,
当他到那个税吏扎该家里面的时候
，Zacchaeus said, "If I've cheated anybody, I will pay back 4 times the amount."
那个扎该对耶稣说，我如果讹诈了谁，我就还他四倍。
This is an economic revolution.
这是一个经济上的一种启示。
So the kingdom is more than the soul.
所以这个神的国度不只是关系到灵魂
holistic,
而是整体的整全的
It's a rule, not a reign.
这是一个治理而不是一种支配
It is now and not yet.
是现在已经开展了但是还没有完全实现
It's here,
是在这里
but it's also coming.
但是也是不断不断的来临来到
It's mixed into the world like yeast in dough.
也是在这个世界里面，好像面酵在这个面团里面混在世界里面。
Salt in meat.
或者是盐混在这个肉里面。
The church is an expression of the kingdom.
教会就是一个这个神的国度的一个彰显。
But the kingdom is more than the church.
可是神的国度要比教会更大。
And the kingdom is holistic.
而这个神的国度又是掌权的，完全的。
And the kingdom confronts the powers.
而神的国度就是去面对那些其他的势力。
We must not reduce the kingdom to simply church life.
我们不能够把神的国度缩减，简化为只是教会里面的
The big problem of the church.
现在教会里面一个大的问题
is that the church is bringing in the church.
就是教会把带到教会里面来
And the church should bring in the kingdom.
I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
And the church should bring in the kingdom.
教会把这个神的国度带进来。
Church growth is bringing in the church.
教会的成长把神的国度带到教会里面来。
But the church is supposed to serve the kingdom of God.
但是教会是要去服侍神的国度的。
We cannot reduce the kingdom just to the church.
所以刚刚的重点就是说不能够把神的国度只是简化成只是教会
can't reduce it to simply inner piety
也不能够把它只是简化到只是一种敬虔的一种生活
and we can't relegate it only to the future
也不能够把它只是推到未来跟现在没有什么关系
we should not confuse it with the best thinking of the world
我们不能够把神的国度跟这个世界上最好的这种思想体系
like democracy or capitalism
好像民族这种民族主义或者是资本主义这一类的
we cannot reduce it to simply personal salvation
我们也不能够把神的国度只是简化成个人的得救的这个
so work is kingdom work
所以我们所做的工作是国度的工作
when it creates new wealth
当他创造新的财富的时候
When it alleviates poverty
当我们去消弭贫穷的时候
When it brings well-being to people
当为人带来福祉的时候
As it embellishes and improves human life
或者是美化改进人类的生活的时候
And as it engages powers that are resistant to God's coming shalom
我们也去对抗那些敌对神的这种势力让神的平安没有办法进到这个世界来我们去敌对的时候这样的工作就是国度的工作
Pastors are doing kingdom work
牧师做的是国度的工作
But so are people who work in the world with good work
但是我们在世界上面我们做好从事一些好的职业的时候也是做国度的工作
After lunchWe're going to explore equipping for the gathered life.
所以我们在午餐完了以后，我们就要开始进到怎么样去装备。
And equipping for the dispersed life.
装备大家一起共同生活，然后装备怎么样分散以后能够去做国度的工作。
We're now going to have a response.
我们现在就有一些回应的时间。
一个好的研讨会就一定有一个对话哈。那么我们很感谢神今早上邀请约尔灵粮堂的主任牧师黄金正牧师来做第一堂的回应。那么黄牧师也是我们圣光的校友，我们请黄牧师。这是一场精彩的演讲，以及是一个精彩的教导。那一个没有学问的人要回应一个有学问的神学教授，就在神的百姓群体当中会发生这样奇妙的事情。因为时间的缘故，我就直接来分享跟回应。第一个要讲到谁能承担祭司的职分。或者说谁才能够担当祭司的职分今早晨我想在整个 Paul Stevens 的分享当中跟教导里面让我们能够思想这个迷思这个迷思长期存在在教会也存在在我们 整个传道人或牧师教会里面，这思想是已经根深蒂固。这职场的神学，或者说我们要进到生活的现场，如何来分享神的国，或者说将神的国能够带出来。以至于今天早晨整个在我的里面击打或冲击的，就是谁才能够担当祭司的职分，而谁才有资格。那个资格是什么？那个资格是因为被呼召，或那个资格是我今天成为一个工作，因着一个责任。而今天早晨我觉得最棒的是打破教会的迷思，神职人员需要呼召。我要问的是，信徒需不需要呼召？我要从我们刚所读的一些经文，让我们很清楚地看见，呼召是在神的群体百姓当中发生的，不是只有单一的发生在神职人员的身上。不论是在彼得前书二章九节告诉我们，唯有你们是被拣选的族类，是有君尊的祭司，是圣洁的国度，是属神的子民。另外在以弗所书一章八节，我们非常熟悉的保罗为以弗所教会的祷告，求神赐下智慧启示灵，很重要一件事情，就让信徒的眼睛，或让圣徒的眼睛，照明圣徒的眼睛的目的有一件事，就是知道神的恩召有何等大的指望。所以这恩召是普遍在神的百姓，而这个恩召不是只是一个重生或一个得救或一个恩典的领受，恩召也是神在这么宝贵的救恩里面对群体百姓的一个呼召。所以在救恩里面的信徒当中，我们也需要有一个呼召的回应。只不过有人在神的百姓群当中，有人被呼召成为专心来服侍神的，或所谓现在所谓的牧师或传道人，有人被呼召进到职场。所以每一个职场每一个工作都是一样的。马太福音里面末了讲到说，你们要去使万民作为门徒，那个去也是一个进入到世界里面。世界这个字 cosmos 这个是不只是讲到世界，是指到一个地方或一个空间。其实这世界是讲到一个文化一个思想，进到政治的领域，或进到文化教育，或进到媒体娱乐界等等，而如何让神的国大有能力的进到每一个领域里面。所以这 cosmos 不是讲到一个地方性，神的掌权不是只有在某一个地方，而是在整个普遍，整个在神所要得着的国度当中。所以这个迷思，我觉得在我们早晨我们一起来思想神职人员的迷思，如果我们未来要来服侍神，这个迷思若继续存在下去，教会就是一个灾难。那今天早晨感谢神，神差派仆人到我们中间来分享神职人员，如果这迷思没有打破，神人需要呼召，弟兄姐妹在救恩里面需不需要呼召呢？如果神职人员需要呼召，只有神职人员需要呼召，以至于难怪整个教会普遍只有牧师需要过圣洁生活，而弟兄姐妹不需要过圣洁生活，因为他不明白他是被呼召的，他被这个救恩神的爱所呼召来要过一个怎么样的生活，他不知道要过一个什么样的生活。以至于就是刚刚周院长一开始所说的，我们就是二元论或二分法切开，就是我们一到五我们是在世界或世俗，然后呢六日我们比较圣洁，但是我们是整个是在这样的一个救恩里面，是全然从头到尾都是圣洁的。如果说神职人员需要蒙召，以至于神职人员有一个圣洁进到里面，而教会的弟兄姐妹就可以随便，而教会的弟兄姐妹就不需要，以至于会产生了很多消费者的信徒。消费者的信徒就是他没有呼召，也就是他以为我就是来等着上天堂，但这个呼召是非常重要的，呼召跟着祭司的职分是非常重要的。我就在希伯来书里面，是在圣经当中很好的一卷书，希伯来书虽然讲到耶稣是一个超越的，是更美的那个侍奉，那希伯来书打破这个迷思，希伯来书打破这个迷思是因着耶稣一次的献上成为更美之事的职分以外，更重要是让整个在教会界里面每一个人都可以进到神的宝座前的侍奉。所以不是只有圣职人员可以来侍奉，整个希伯来书
耶稣所做成最荣耀一次的现象，做成最荣耀的工作，就是每一个人都可以靠着耶稣来到神的面前。但从旧约或者在中古世纪，让我们看见好像只有一些被呼召的某些特别的人才可以来到神的面前承担这个圣职的工作。但如果这个不打破这迷思，教会就很难在体质上、生命上有个很大的转变。因此我们每一个人都需要有呼召。保罗特别也让我们看见，如果只有神职人员需要呼召，那么弟兄姐妹他们将来在天上的冠冕和奖赏是不是只有神职人员比较大比较多呢？或者弟兄姐妹的服事他们就比较小比较少比较没有呢？保罗在提摩太后书就打破这个迷思啊。提摩太整个提摩太后书4:7-8说，那美好教我已经打过，当跑的路我已经跑尽了，所信的道我已经守住了，从此以后有公义的冠冕为我存留，就是按着公义审判的主到那日要赐给我的。不仅保罗说要赐给我，后面他说不但要赐给我，也赐给凡爱慕他显现的人。所以将来的奖赏或未来的冠冕，是不是只有神职人员更大更亮更多呢？神的产业是只单单为神职人预备，而不为着一般的人预备。所以我们看见在这里有一个迷思，如果我们能打破，以至于这迷思要先打破，在教会里面的门徒训练才有意义。因为门徒训练就是要让每一个人要进入到生活现场跟职场里面，来将神的国带进到这世界，以至于神掌权在每一个范围，神掌权在每一个范畴的里面。以至于我们看见刚才也讲到，从耶稣的身上我们看见这更美的侍奉。耶稣来他起初不是用祭司的职分，是用木匠的儿子。但我们看见这个木匠的儿子其实就是一个很普通的，但是他却可以服侍神。为什么？因此一个祭司或是一个服侍神 的人，今天我要回应的第二个，就是要服侍神的人是因着关系而进入，也是因着赞美而进入。如果因着这关系就可以进入到一个服侍的里面，如果不是因为职责，因为头衔，如果职责跟头衔会带来刚刚所分享的，只不过就当作是一个责任罢了，所以需要37个小时，第38个小时就不是我的责任了。那这个观念在教会里面就很要命，教会就没有办法建造起来。所以我觉得这个是一个很重要的观念，就是服事是因着关系，服事是因着我们跟神有一个关系，以至于进入这样的侍奉里面。所以教会不再是一个空间，教会如果只是一个空间或一个房子或一个屋子，以至于神的福音就不能进入世界。今天我们门徒训练让每一个人都有一个祭司的职分，每一个人都有圣灵的恩膏，以及进到职场里面，进到职场里面就能够完成耶稣的三大事工，能够完成耶稣的使命。所以这是整个让我们看见教会如果只是被锁在一个空间里面，如果这个弟兄这个姐妹这个属神的百姓他在每一个地方，所以那个地方从广义来看也是一个教会，他在那里有小组，他在那里有敬拜，在那里能够带下神国的福音，那里神就在同在。所以祭司就是把神同在恩典带进到这个世界，所以不是单单被锁在一个空间范围里面，而是一个扩大的，而是更大的。赵生很荣幸有这样的一个分享，因此我们再次回到，就是谁能担任祭司的职分，谁能拥有祭司的职分，是一个在救恩里面蒙召的，一个救恩里面与神有关系的，每一个人都可以来到神的面前承担这样一个服事的职任。也就是那职任不是一个头衔，这是一个关系，每一个人都可以来到神的面前。所以我们看见这个教导是按着圣经，让我们看见是信仰与你的职场的工作是一个连结的，是一个结合的。如何让教会训练弟兄姐妹，不是只有训练他单单会祷告，训练他只是会带敬拜，训练他只会教主日学，训练他只会教导， 如果我们训练出来的门徒只是会做教会的事，而不知道如何带着神大能的福音的救恩的恩膏进到职场里面，世界还是不能被翻转改变。所以这整个迷思如果在教会里面不被打破，我们就很难能够把神国记着我们能够彰显出来。教会是彰显神国一个最美的一件事情，我们如何能够将神国能够彰显，这迷思需要被打破的。因此今天早晨我们再次，包括我自己也是需要再次思想的，我的眼睛也需要被光照，我也需要被照明，以致我能够明白教会这是很棒的一个教会观，很棒的一个侍奉放在我们的中间。所以不是让我们看见在新约里面不是只有神职人员能够进到圣所，希伯来书让我们看见的是整个神的百姓都可以借着耶稣基督来到那个至圣所的面前来服侍他。这是一个打破非常重要的，可能全民皆祭司或是蒙召的人都可以成为祭司来服侍。我们如何更多的来发展在整个门训的当中或门徒训练装备。所以讲到服侍，下午可能会提到装备，那这装备是每个服侍人都需要都渴望的。好，这是我今天早晨我简单的一个回应，就是谁能承担祭司的职分，谁才能拥有祭司的资格，就是因着关系，因着关系能进到这个职分的里面。所以耶稣他在地上，他不只是牧家的儿子，他也是神的儿子。所以耶稣好像他也不是带着一个头衔，他是带着一个荣耀的关系进到一个侍奉的里面。让我们也能够有一些思想，这对我来讲也是一个很棒的修正，也是一个很好的调整，就是我们如何训练弟兄姐妹。因为我们现在训练就是训练做教会里面的事，在教会里面很会做教会里面的事，但是我们如何被装备之后是要进到这个世界，进到职场每一个领域来完成神的使命和托付。
这个时候我们就开放，就是大家可以有回应哈，那么可以问问题。那么刚才是帮大家可以先写在纸上哈，那么传过来，我们麻烦那个同工帮我们收一下这些问题，那我们方便给那个讲员来回应这些问题啊。那开始聊。
One or two questions right now before we break for lunch.
我们还有时间可以有一两个发问，有没有人要发问或者是？
Here's a question.
有问题哈。
Please,
如果上班是打卡制 ,dodge card, 那下班却是责任制，是不合理的。那怎么办呢？如果一个受雇者碰到这样的情况。
你对不起，你再说一遍好不好？你说上班的时候是打卡制。 下班是责任制啊？什么意思？你的问题是什么？He's talking about a company's unreasonable demand from his boss. He's a punch card.
Okay.
Punch card.
Yes.
We are going to work, but he still carries responsibility. The boss still asks him to carry responsibility even after the work hour.
Yeah.
And how would she respond to?
And it's in the workplace.
In the workplace, 在职场上的情况。
Yes.It does seem to me that probably many of the slaves in the church in Colossae had to face unreasonable demands of their master.
我想啊，这是我们都要去面对这个现实啊，像有一些比较不合理的这种老板的要求。
Paul said, work wholeheartedly.And not just when your boss's eye is on you.
保罗说哈，要全心的去服侍神，不是做给人看的，不只是做给人看的。
And twice he says, "It is the Lord Christ you're serving."
而是做给神看的，为主做的。
And at the same time, he spoke to the master.
啊，同时他也对那些老板啊，主人说话。
And he said, "Provide what is right and fair."
他说你要用公平的来对待你的雇工，对待你的雇员。
And you know there are problems with factories in China.
你知道最近台湾工厂里面出现的问题。
I've been following the news carefully.
我一直在注意这方面的新闻。
So it's a double emphasis, I think.
所以有两方面的强调。
That is, do what your boss asks you to do.
你就你的老板怎么要求你就怎么做。
But at the same time, the boss needs to hear that he should or she should provide what is right and fair.
但是同时你也要让老板知道，他们必须要公平的来对待员工。
If I think a person cannot honestly do what is asked of the boss,
我想一个人如果不能够很坦诚的、很诚实的去。做老板要求他做的事情的时候
and the demands are totally unreasonable,
而且老板的要求又是不合理的
I think that a person should express that,
我想那个人应该要把这种想法表达出来
and request really a slightly different job description,
要求这个对职务的这种要职务的要求职务的说明要做一些修改
Because it may not be physically possible to actually do everything that's required.
因为按照我们的身体的这个状况来讲，根本不可能去做那些他所要求的根本不可能做得到。
And I think sometimes workers who are being overworked,
有一些超过工时的这些做工的人
need to express to their bosses,
需要向他们老板反映。
That in the long run they will do better work.
在从长远的角度来看呢，他们是会做得更好。
If they are not exhausted all the time.
如果他们不是每天都觉得好累啊，这种要求太多。
So workaholics do not actually make good employees.
所以这种工作狂啊，事实上并不是好的雇员。
And employers who require their workers to be workaholics.
那如果那个老板要求这些员工都要做工作狂的话
，will probably find that their workers are not as fruitful as they would wish。
他们最终会发现这些所谓的工作狂，也许不像他们所想象的，会对公司有更好的贡献。
I think there are risks in doing what I've just said。
当然要这样去反应的话，也会有一些冒险。
You could lose your job。
你可能会被解雇。
And I'm about to lose my job.
我也快被解雇了。
Because I'm going to have lunch. But first of all, I'm willing to sign some books if people would like them signed. I'm going to sign books downstairs.
我接下去我因为还要帮人家签书哈，如果需要书需要他签名的，待会他需要签名。
After lunch, okay. We need to stop at 12.
这些问题我们下午after lunch move to the
after
I think we better stop here. 我们就下午再回答这个问题好不好
I think we should stop. And after we'll have a Q&A time later.
好我们鼓掌谢谢蒋委员
谢谢大家来参加楼下一楼有签书会那如果没有要签书的话那我们到地下一楼请用餐谢谢